We're going to spend this particular session talking about shyness and social anxiety. And let's just pray and ask God to give us the remaining stamina that we need, shall we? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this week that you've blessed us with. Thank you for all the blessings that have been poured out through it. Thank you for these dear folk, Lord, and just for their perseverance and their endurance. And I'd ask that now as we think about this topic of shyness and social anxiety, that as we look at your word for how to deal with something that paralyzes people, that we would become better equipped to give true hope and freedom to those who may be struggling. Thank you, Lord, that you bless us like that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me begin by just giving you an overview of shyness and social anxiety. And let me tell you about Melissa. Melissa is single and has never dated. She is perceived to be quiet and somewhat of a loner. Growing up, her mothers always explained Melissa's backwardness with strangers by stating, what? She's shy. Melissa hated school. She assumed that other kids would think she was boring, so she kept to herself. Lunchtime was the worst. She never had anyone to sit by, and she was sure that everyone noticed her sitting by herself and knew that she couldn't make friends. She was so miserable, she frequently had stomach aches and begged to stay home. Melissa got a job at Walmart during the busy Christmas season. The company needed employees so badly that they basically hired anybody who applied without having to go through much of an interview. Trained to work as a cashier, Melissa hates her job. She feels that the customers are always looking at her, thinking she's too slow. If Melissa makes a mistake ringing up an order, she's frequently so embarrassed by it that she makes herself sick and isn't able to go to work the next day. Now let me tell you about Sandra. Sandra is a quiet young woman studying to become a doctor. She was a good student all throughout high school and college and was always at the top of her class. She did well in her med school classes, but she struggled in residency. Now, do you know why she would struggle in residency? Because in residency, as part of the training, the residents have to go from room to room with their professors and all the other students, and they are required to verbally give the proper diagnosis and treatment for the patients, explaining their reasoning. When it's Sandra's turn, her heart races, her face gets red and hot, she forgets what she wants to say. Sandra believes her professors and the other residents think she is stupid and inadequate. She imagines that the group talks behind her back about the diagnosis and treatment plan she prescribes. Sandra wants to be a doctor, but she doesn't think she's going to be able to make it through residency. All right, a couple of just, I think, pretty typical scenarios for people who may struggle in this area. If you fear talking on the telephone, participating in small groups, eating or drinking in public places, talking to people in authority, giving a talk or report in front of a group of people, attending social events, working while being observed, speaking up at a meeting, writing while being observed, for example, filling out a check at a store, interacting with clerks at the bank, grocery, dry cleaners, etc., using a public bathroom, entering a room when others are already seated, being the center of attention, expressing a disagreement or disapproval to people that you don't know very well, looking people you don't know very well in the eyes, buying or returning items at a department store, giving a party, resisting a high-pressure salesman, dealing with doctor's offices, attending church, dating, expressing an opinion, performance situations such as playing a musical instrument or taking a test. If you answered yes to a number of those, you might be labeled with the label social anxiety or social phobia disorder. Social anxiety refers to the tendency to be nervous, uncomfortable, or fearful in social situations, usually because of a fear of doing something embarrassing or foolish, making a bad impression, or being judged negatively by others. It may be situation specific in that it only occurs like at work, or it only occurs at school, you're fine in other places, or it may be generalized. Everywhere it's that way. It may range in intensity from manageable to overwhelming. And for our purposes, we're going to have shyness and social anxiety as just different ends of a continuum. One is a more manageable end of the continuum. The other is just it gets more and more difficult. The more intense the struggle, the more likely the label is going to be social anxiety. Now, how prevalent is it? Well, you can think in your mind about how prevalent you think it is. According to one source, social anxiety disorder affects at least 17 million people in the United States. It's reported to be the most common anxiety disorder and the third most common psychiatric disorder. Depression and alcohol dependence would rank in front of it. Those who are shy or socially anxious may experience physical symptoms such as racing or pounding heart, breathlessness or feelings of being smothered, dizziness or lightheadedness, difficulty swallowing, choking feelings, having a lump in their throat, quivering or shakiness, blushing, nausea, diarrhea, butterflies in the stomach, excessive sweating, trembling or a quivering voice, tearfulness, nervous laughter, poor concentration, forgetting what they were going to say, blurred vision, numbness and tingling sensations, feelings of unreality or being detached, tightness or weakness in the muscles, sore neck, wobbly knees, that kind of thing, chest pains or tightness in chest muscles, dry mouth, hot flushes or chills. And to try to control this, shy or socially anxious people may not go to parties, make excuses not to go out with friends, never ever answer questions in class, arrive late for meetings in order to avoid having to make small talk before the meeting, offer to help with the dishes at a party so they don't have to mingle with the other guests, fill out a check before they arrive at a store so they don't have to do it in front of the clerk, wear heavy makeup or turtlenecks so that nobody can see them turning red. Now, sometimes labels help us. Sometimes they're not so helpful. And I think the label shyness and social anxiety probably does both. It helps us by allowing us to organize patterns of behaviors into categories. So when it's organized, it's a whole lot easier to get your arms around it than having to say something like, I hate meeting new people, eating in public, using public restrooms, introducing myself and being the center of attention. I'm scared of being criticized, being fair, being embarrassed, and looking foolish. It's a whole lot easier just to say, I'm shy, right? So the label can help us get things organized. I think the label can also hurt us because in the case of social anxiety, I think that having that label can make us feel powerless. Like, I have this disease and it just is something that's overtaken me. It's not really something I can control. And so I end up not having any hope because it's just this thing that happens to me. And I get this label and now I'm not responsible. Well, if we're going to give people hope, then we need to properly diagnose the problem and understand the appropriate treatment. And I think that we can do that by using God's Word and just unpacking some of this stuff from God's Word and then looking to the great physician for answers to those who have been given this label. First of all, let's consider some of the commendable skills or attributes that are associated with shyness or social anxiety. What would be some of the commendable attributes of someone who would get the label shyness or social anxiety? They're at the top of their class. Oh, they don't talk in class. They're at the top of their class, okay. They don't talk in class, okay. So it makes it a lot easier for the teacher when you're not constantly having to say, quiet, 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 listen, listen, listen. Good. They do listen. Is that what you were going to say? They're slow to speak. Good. Humility. Any others? They think of others. They show consideration for others. They might be labeled introverted, okay, and the things that we've just mentioned maybe would get the same thing. Introvert and shyness are probably comparable terms. I think they want to do things with excellence, right? They want to do things with excellence. Now, and we might be able to make that list longer. We probably could. But I think there's a downside to all these skills. We do want to recognize there are skills, but the downside is that sometimes these skills spring